This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, March 16th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning. I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. E15 legislation on the block as Congress returns. U.S.-Ecuador OK trade agreement, and state attorneys general try to stop a new tariff. The House is back from recess, and so is the pressure to get an E15 bill finished and on the floor for a vote. Farmers from the Corn Belt are on Capitol Hill starting tomorrow, pushing for year-round sales of higher ethanol fuel blends, known as E15. You can see our Washington Week Ahead at AgriPulse.com for more. A House E15 bill could be unveiled as soon as today. That, according to Representative Randy Feenstra, the Iowa Republican, told AgriPulse he expects E15 to be introduced this week. Feenstra co-chairs the Congressional Council tasked with finding a way forward on the thorny biofuel issue. The Republican Council was created in January after proposed legislation was scrapped. Independent oil refineries objected to a provision to limit small refinery exemptions from biofuel blending laws. Some farm state lawmakers are ramping up calls for E15 amid war with Iran that is sending fuel, fertilizer, and other ag input costs surging. If E15 gets close but fails again, expect Democrats to go after Republicans in key rural races in this year's elections. House Ag Committee's top Democrat, Minnesota's Angie Craig, likened the E15 stalemate to, quote, Lucy with the football, a reference to the recurring gag in Peanuts where Lucy pulls the football away just as Charlie Brown is about to kick it. The analogy came up this month when Democrats unsuccessfully tried to get E15 added to a farm bill. Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson said he supports E15, but that it is not an Ag Committee jurisdiction. I would remind everybody the only time that year-round E15 sales got through the House of Representatives, it was under a Democratic-controlled Congress, Craig said, referring to a bill passed in 2022 and then stalled in the Senate. Craig is running for Senate in Minnesota. Feenster running for governor of Iowa, the top ethanol-producing state. In the Senate, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven, chair of the Appropriations Ag Subcommittee, told AgriPulse there are currently two options for E15. One, add it to some sort of supplemental funding bill that also includes economic aid for farmers, or two, attach it to an upcoming farm bill in the Senate Ag Committee, which Hoeven is a member. No matter how E15 might get through Congress, the issue of small refinery exemptions still has to be worked out. Hoeven said, if we can resolve that, then we're good to go. The U.S. has signed a trade pact with Ecuador that will see tariffs reduced on more than 90% of U.S. ag exports to the country. As a part of the deal, Ecuador scrapped tariffs on soybeans, fruit, alcoholic drinks, certain meat products, and tree nuts, a fact sheet says. The country will also create an automatic renewal process for ag product import licenses, recognize U.S. certification in the meat and dairy sectors, and protect generic meat and cheese names. The deal text says Ecuador will also establish tariff rate quotas for corn, sorghum, soybean oil, ethanol, poultry, pork, and dairy to allow a limited quantity of products to enter tariff-free. The U.S. exported about $555 million of ag products to Ecuador in 2024, more than $200 million of soybean meal and $84 million of wheat, the Commerce Department says. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. A group of Democratic attorneys general are pushing the Court of International Trade to block President Trump's 10% global tariff or pause the duties while the longer case plays out. The group filed a motion for a summary judgment on Friday, or if that fails, a preliminary injunction. In short, the president's attempt to exercise enormous staff authority and the implementation of his proclamation exceeding Section 122's limits and violates the separation of powers, the filing reads. Importers in the 24 states that have signed on to the case stand to pay $748 million a year under the new duties. A press release from the Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays notes farmers and businesses across Arizona now dealing with skyrocketing gas prices due to the Trump war in Iran shouldn't have to spend another day paying this illegal taxes, Mays argued in a statement. The Trump administration is listing some restrictions on purchases of Venezuela fertilizer and U.S. support and investment in the sector. The conflict in Iran has spurred sharp price rises in nitrogen fertilizer markets and triggered availability fears. However, it's unclear how much price relief Venezuela could provide. Despite urea capacity of about 2 million tons, the country's exports have fallen sharply in recent years, hitting 400,000 metric tons in 2025, according to Argus, a company that provides commodity market intelligence. In addition to easing restrictions on Venezuela, the administration said it is considering waiving shipping requirements to help move product within the U.S. Analysts told AgriPulse Friday that the administration does not have good policy options to swiftly bring prices in check. Unfortunately, these events are global in nature and outside of our ability to change them immediately, StoneX Josh Linville said in an email. Independent Commodity Intelligence Services Mark Milam said that until the conflict ends and ships can load and move product through the Strait of Hormuz, prices will continue to rise. Prices are going to continue to go up as long as this conflict is going on, Milam said in an interview. As first applications wrap up in the next couple of weeks, Milam said he expects an additional rush of demand as buyers restock. Workers at a major JBS beef processing facility in Greeley, Colorado, are on strike in a dispute over wages, equipment expenses, and other points of contention in their discussions with the company. The United Food and Commercial Workers Local 7 Union began striking at 5:30 a.m. today. UFCW Local 7 represents about 3,800 members that work at the Greeley plant, that according to local union president Kim Cordova. In addition to wage increases, union members are seeking changes to a company policy that charges them for lost or stolen equipment. The facility processes between 5 and 6,000 cattle daily, according to the Greeley Tribune. Our fight is not with the cattlemen, Cordova told AgriPulse in an interview Friday. Our fight isn't with anybody. It's about protecting these workers, making sure they have a safe place to work, that they're not being exploited, and that they are being compensated fairly. Here's today's final word. You have not only the impact of fiscal product not being able to move through, and that is creating rising demand that leads to higher costs in the markets, then we have the added impact of petroleum and then the uncertainty. All of that is stacked up against the farmer. That's Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, discussing the impact of the war on Iran on farmers. He's the guest this week on the AgriPulse Open Mic. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, March 16th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.